Let's look again in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13, I think maybe gives us the secret of having a good ending. A good beginning and a good ending. Chapter 5 and verse 13, a verse we've already looked at, says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life." That's the first part. That's the beginning. We believe, and God wants us to know that we have. So that's the first part. Then it says, and in addition to that, and that ye not do believe, but ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. You say, what does that mean? There's a double believing here. There's a believing to begin with, and there's a believing to continue with. So the secret here of knowing that you're saved, if you believe in the name of the Son of God, is the scriptures here, and the secret of going on to the end and having a good ending is to continue to believe, have faith in the name of the Son of God. Now with that in mind, let's look back in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 16, which is a good gospel verse, but it's also true of believers. Paul is writing to believers when he says this, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation." We mustn't think that the word salvation, every time it's mentioned in the Bible, means to be saved from hell or saved for eternity. It means to be saved from this present evil world. It means to be saved from the corruption and sins of this evil world. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes it, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Why is it the power of God? Because in it, for therein, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed. How is the righteousness of God revealed in the gospel? Well, whatever it is, it's revealed from faith to faith. And that's a little phrase I want you to think about tonight. From faith to faith. Now, that's exactly what we read in 1 John 5:13. It began with faith, and it continued with faith. The word believe is mentioned there. The word faith is mentioned here. Now, that this has an application to the saved is in the next verse. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. The saved shall live by faith. We're saved by faith, but we're to live by faith. Now that word is the just, that little phrase, the just shall live by faith, is quoted in the Old Testament, but it's mentioned three times in the New Testament. It's mentioned in the book of Romans here. It's mentioned in the book of Galatians chapter 3 and verse 11. And it's mentioned in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 28. Now there's a reason why it's in those places. Because Romans is not talking so much about faith and living, it's talking about being justified. The just here is the people who are saved. So the book of Romans is telling us how we can be justified and we can be made right with God. It's talking about the just. Now, if you read the book of Galatians carefully, you're going to find that's telling us how to live. The just shall live. In that book, it's all about living. They were trying to live by the law. They were observing all sorts of days. They were being led astray by people who were telling them they probably had to be circumcised in order to keep saved and so on and so on. That it's all about living. And when you get to the book of Hebrews, what do you got? Faith. In fact, Hebrews 10 and verse 38, where that verse, the just shall live by faith, we got a whole chapter of 20 times people living by faith. They were all God's people, but they were living by faith. Now, what does it mean to live by faith? Most people got the idea to live by faith is quit working and don't do anything, just sit and twiddle your thumbs and believe God's going to supply all your needs. That's foolishness. That's stupidity. That's tempting the Lord. That's the same idea as the devil telling the Lord to jump down off the pinnacle of the temple and the angels would look after him. And the Lord said, you should. It's written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. That's tempting the Lord. Living by faith. We want to look at that. The just shall live by faith. From faith to faith is we receive Christ by faith. And we continue to live by faith in Christ. Our life should be lived by faith. Now we're going to look a little bit about what it means to live by faith. You've got this, everywhere. We're justified by faith in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. And the very next verse, if you care to look at it, Romans chapter 5, says, by whom, by that same Savior, in Romans 5 and 1, we're justified by faith. The very next, and have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom, by the same Lord Jesus Christ, also, in addition to being justified, we have access, how? By faith, into this grace wherein we stand. Now, grace is what we need to live by. Not only to be saved, we need the same grace that saves us, we need grace to live by. Grace isn't just God's divine favor, it's God's divine supply for all of our needs. So we have access into this grace, how? By faith. The same by faith that we by faith in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. And the very next verse, if you care to look at it, Romans chapter 5, says, by whom, by that same Savior, in Romans 5 and 1, we're justified by faith. The very next, and have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom, by the same Lord Jesus Christ, also, in addition to being justified, we have access, how? By faith, into this grace wherein we stand. Now, grace is what we need to live by. Not only to be saved, we need the same grace that saves us, we need grace to live by. Grace isn't just God's divine favor, it's God's divine supply for all of our needs. So we have access into this grace, how? By faith. The same by faith that we're justified in verse 1 of chapter 5. It's the same by faith that we have access into this grace wherein we've been brought or stand before God. So we are to live on the principle of faith. Now I want to look, I haven't got too much time, but I want to look in Hebrews chapter number 11. I could look at other things, but I want to look in Hebrews chapter 11. That verse in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 38, we've got that verse, now the just shall live by faith. In Hebrews 10 and verse 38. Now the just are people who are justified, people who have been saved, people who have been declared to be righteous by the God, the judge of all mankind, shall live, how? By faith. Now, chapter 11 gives an example of what it means to live by faith. Now, 20 times in this chapter, beginning in verse 3, we got the word through faith, which is the same word by faith in verse 4. Got 20 times in this chapter, we've got the word by faith or through faith. And I understand it's just one word in the original, and it literally means by faith. Now in verse 4, we read this. By faith, Abel did something. He lived. He did something. He offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Now why doesn't it say, now Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain? He did. Why doesn't it say that? By faith. Now, chapter 11 gives an example of what it means to live by faith. Now, 20 times in this chapter, beginning in verse 3, we got the word through faith, which is the same word by faith in verse 4. Got 20 times in this chapter we've got the word by faith or through faith. And I understand it's just one word in the original and it literally means by faith. Now in verse 4 we read this. By faith, Abel did something. He lived. He did something. He offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Now why doesn't it say, now Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain? He did. Why doesn't it say that? Why does it say by faith Abel did that? It would be the same as saying, now we often say that, now Abel offered a better sacrifice than Cain. That's what he did. But that's not how he did it. The little word by faith tells us not what he did, it tells us how he did it. He offered it by faith. Offered a more excellent sacrifice is what he did. How did he do it? He did it by faith. I must confess, so often I do many things, but I don't do it by faith. I do it in obedience to the Lord, but I don't always do it by faith. That is, I'm not always conscious. I'm conscious of the fact that God said to do certain things and not to do certain things, but I'm not conscious that I have to depend on the Lord and the outcome for what I'm doing. But Abel, when he made an offering to God, it was not only in obedience, evidently, to something he knew he should do, but he offered it believing this. Believing that God wanted him to do that, and believing that God would accept his offering, so consequently, he was doing it by faith. Had he offered something to God, and he had to wait to find out whether God was going to accept it or not, then he couldn't have offered it by faith. He would be doubting. You see what I mean? So how often we do things, and we don't do it by faith. Now we offer things to God. We're told in 1 Peter 2 and verse 5 that as a spiritual house we offer up spiritual sacrifices unto God which are acceptable to him through Christ. So we come together in the Lord's name morning and we sing praises unto him and we offer praise to the Lord and that's right and proper. But do we do it by faith? Do we do it not only believing God wants us to do that, but do we believe it that God is as well pleased with that and he's going to accept that and he's going to be very honoring and pleasing to him? Do we do it believing that God is going to accept? Our feeble worship, which we might realize that is true, but God still is going to accept it. So, all these things down through this chapter, every one of them was done on the principle of faith. Believing that God wanted them to do it and believing that God was going to honor their faith in doing it. And God did honor Abel's faith. The verse says that. But Abel, by faith, that's how, he offered, that's what he did, unto God, a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And God gave him witness that he was right with God, and God testified of his gift, and though he's dead, he's still speaking in this verse about his offering. So you see, faith rests basically on three things. You can believe God's promises, but faith isn't always based on a promise. Sometimes it's based on a command and not a promise. For instance, in the case of Abraham, in verse number 8, says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should afterward receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. And the next verse says he sojourned by faith in a strange land, living in tents and never did get in the land. And what you got in verse 6 is Genesis 12:1. God made no promises in Genesis 12:1. He told him first to get out of his country, away from his kindred, and go out. And it says Abraham, he obeyed God, but he didn't know where he was going. That's what the verse says. God knew he was offering him a land later on to inherit it, but he obeyed and he went out having no clue where he was going. So his faith was based more on obedience. Obeying God. And faith can also be based on the principles of God. You don't have to have a promise to know that God wants sinners to repent and be saved. You don't have to have a promise to say, go in the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You just go out on the basis of the principle that God loved the world and gave himself to the world. But you go out believing. You go out in faith. Now we could go on. Let's go in verse 5. Each one of these have a little different aspect of living by faith. Abel's was an offering that he made to God. And he made it by faith, believing that's what God wanted, and believing that God was going to accept it. Never had a doubt in the world, and God testified of his gifts. By faith, Enoch was translated. Now, Enoch didn't have faith to be translated. What Enoch's faith was in is down in the latter part of the verse. He pleased God. And that goes back to Genesis chapter 5, where we read that for 300 years, Enoch walked with God. He walked by faith. What you got in verse 4 is Abel offering an offering to God by faith. What you got in verse 5 is Enoch walking by faith and pleasing God so that God took him out from under a coming judgment of the flood. God took him out, took him away, translated and took him away. And that shows the reason why he did it in the next verse. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. Enoch pleased God. His walk pleased God. He walked by faith. And that's what we read in 2 Corinthians 1:24. That we're to walk by faith and not by sight. We're to live by faith. To live from faith to faith is one step of faith to another step of faith, another day of faith, another day of faith. It's all by faith. Because the power of the gospel is all the sinner needs. And the only way we can tap into that gospel and that grace is by faith. Not by knowing it. That's not enough. You gotta believe it. You gotta really believe it. So Enoch was a man that walked by God, and he pleased God, and God took him out. And it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now that's just as true of a believer as an unbeliever, and in its context, it's in the context of believers. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Think of Abel. He came to God by faith. Enoch walked with God by faith. Now the little word is the same word I am. You can say this, for he that, the same idea as I am. He that cometh to God must believe that he is there. He is on the scene. He's at hand. He's available. And that those that he's going to be a rewarder, like he rewarded Abel, like he rewarded Enoch, to them that diligently seek him by faith. Then it goes on to say Noah, but Noah, he was warned of God of things not seen. And he prepared an ark to the saving of his house. How did he do that? He built that ark, believing everything that God told him. Believing that ark was going to float. You imagine us doing that. Lee builds boats there, and I can't imagine building a boat on the ground and figuring the tide's going to come up enough to float away without hauling it down on the slip. I don't think it would work. But here's a man building an ark. And he's building this huge boat, three stories high, building this huge boat, And he believes with all of his heart that God is going to float that ark away and he's going to float away to safety. He prepared that ark to the saving of his house, but he did it by faith. Not just obedience to God telling him to build an ark, but he did it believing God wanted him to do it and believing God was going to honor him in doing it. That's the living by faith. You got this all through the Bible. Philip was reading a verse this morning and Ephesians about Christ dwelling in your hearts. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16, Paul's prayer that Christ may dwell in your heart. How? The next little phrase says, by faith. By believing he dwells in my heart. You don't feel him. You might have a little heart murmur or something, you'll feel that. But you don't feel anything. It's faith. You believe that Christ dwells in my heart. You believe that Christ makes his home in my heart. You believe he's settled right down in my heart and makes himself the home. You believe that. Constantly believe that. That's by faith. So we got Noah building an ark by faith. Work. Our offerings in verse 4. Offering the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to the Lord should all be done because God is worthy, and we should all do it believing that that's pleasing to the Lord. He wants that, and we should do it by faith. And by faith we should walk with God like Enoch and please God and believe that that's pleasing to God. And in verse 7, we should work. We should work like Noah, whatever the Lord's work is that he wants us to do in the scriptures. Anything that he tells us to do, we should do it by faith and believing that's what he wants us to do and that he's going to bless us in doing it. Now, let's go on. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out to a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, he obeyed. So the faith of obedience. He didn't know where he was going, but he went just the same. Now we might go out, I've gone out many times in my life just out witnessing. I have no idea where I'm going. I have no idea where I'm going. I remember one time Dickie and I were going, decided we were going up in the Roberts Island to see somebody, and we got up to Clayton's house and I just wheeled around and went in that driveway, almost missed the driveway. I just all of a sudden went in there like that. And Judy and Clayton had just been married. And if you're at my 60th, 80th anniversary or birthday or something, you'll remember Judy said she married Clayton and was depressed. And she was depressed. And we went in there and we weren't in, and I never saw Judy, I don't believe in my life, when we were going in to see Clayton. She came to the door, she knew who we were, she said, come in. We went in, we weren't in that house 5 or 7 minutes before she was saved. She had a million questions. We gave her one verse, Acts 10:43, and she was saved. We went out not knowing whether we went. And I'm not going to tell you that I believed that God was going to send somewhere where I didn't know where I was going. I should have believed it. I should have believed that before I left. But I didn't. But fortunately, that's the way the Lord wanted it. And we whirled in there. But when we go out, we should be like Abraham. We should obey in going out, even though we don't know where we're going necessarily. But we should be obedient to the Lord in going out, especially with the gospel. Now we can go on in verse 9. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise. It doesn't say now he sojourned. It says how he did it, not when. The word little by faith is how he sojourned. He just like a foreigner, like a pilgrim in the world. He by faith he just sojourned in the land of promise, but to him it was a strange country. He was dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of the same promise. But he was just roaming around in that land. But he was sojourning by faith, his pilgrimage. That's how he was traveling, by faith. looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. Never found it, but looking for it. Verse 11, Sarah, by faith, the same little phrase, by faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive and was delivered of a child when she was past age. Why? Because she judged him faithful who had promised. She had a promise. And though she laughed at God's promise, this verse says that she was strong in her faith and believed God's promise. And God honored his promise. But it was Sarah conceived, not only in sort of a miraculous way, in a sense, by the Lord himself, but it was by faith. She judged him faithful who had made that promise, and God honored his promise, and she conceived and brought forth an Isaac. Now my time is gone, but we could go on and on, right on through these verses, and you're going to find the same thing every time. Verse 17 is Abraham again. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, he offered up Isaac. By faith, he offered him up. He believed God wanted him to do it. And in obedience, the obedience of faith, and you got that in Romans chapter 1 and verse 5, it speaks about the obedience of faith. There's always an element of obedience to faith. James said if you got faith that's inactive, it's like a body without a spirit. Faith without works or activity is dead. He's not talking about the works of the law. In fact, he mentions this very, very case, James, in James chapter 2, of Abraham offering up by faith his son Isaac. And James chapter 2, and here he offered up his son Isaac, and he says he received him back in a figure in verse number 19. He accounted that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead. Faith, the reasoning of faith was this. God has made promises to bless my offspring through Isaac. Now he wants me to offer up Isaac as a burnt offering on the altar. How is God ever going to keep his promise and allow me to do that? So he goes on and obeys God to offer up his son. God stopped him. He only didn't let him go so far and stopped him. And Abraham already had accounted that God was going to let him offer his son, but he was going to raise him up again. He even said in Genesis chapter 22, he said, I and the lad will go yonder and we will come again. Not I, but we'll come back. And he had every intentions of offering up his son in obedience to God. By faith, when he was tried, he offered up, as far as he was concerned in his faith, he offered up Isaac. That's what the verse says, 17. He actually, by his faith, he had gone through the whole thing and he'd offered up Isaac and he got as far as the knife and plunging it into his own son when God stopped him. God had tested him and tried to stop him. So you see how, what it means that the just shall live by faith. It's a righteousness that we have in God that we receive by faith. And it's imputed to us by faith in Christ, but it's imparted to us by the same faith in the same Savior and the same gospel that saved us to begin with. There is no difference in the faith that saves and the faith that we live by. It's in the same Savior. It's in the same gospel. It's in the same grace. And we should learn to live by faith. Just this past week, I three times in my morning readings, I asked the Lord, believing for the Lord to lead me to somebody to speak to today about the Lord. And the whole 3 days, he led me to somebody. And even opened, in two cases, he opened the conversation for me by the people that, for instance, a man drove in my yards and he said, what do you know for sure? He couldn't ask me a better question. I said, I know for sure I'm going to heaven and I'm saved. He couldn't have asked me a better question. And that man, I must confess, I'd known that man for quite a while. I never spoke to him before. But I believed God was going to lead me or lead somebody to me. And we should do that. And we should plead God. God wants to do that, doesn't he? He wants us to witness to people. He wants us to do certain things. So what we should do is just do that by faith. Believe him. And look to him and trust him to do what he has asked us to do. Shall we pray? Father, we come to thank thee for thy patience and thy goodness to us. And we would say like another of old, I believe, Lord, but help our unbelief. Help us to trust thee more, to see more of thy hand in the land of the living, and especially in the salvation of souls. We confess so often, Lord, that we pray for people without believing that thou art able and willing to save them. And we ever pray, Father, that our faith might not hinder the salvation of anybody. Help us to be strong in faith, giving glory to God like Abraham of old, to be fully persuaded for what that thou art able to perform, all that thou hast promised. So we ask thy blessing upon each of us in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.